Okay, I have one more chapter I get to share with you all, and it is the first chapter of the book, and I have to say, this one was a battle. Well, a battle's maybe too strong of a word. There was a lot of back and forth. If I should start off with my very first chapter being labeled our failures. It's not like the most encouraging way for people to start a book, but it felt essential to me. One of the promises I make and say frequently as I'm sharing about But God Can with others is this is meant to really help you. I want so badly to share words that are helpful and life-giving, not fluff. They meet you exactly where you're at. And to go with the story arc of this whole book, which starts with looking back, then evaluating your present, and then how to move forward, it felt like we had to address what our failures were. And that's not an encouraging place to be, right? Like most self-help books are all like positive and motivation and name it, claim it stuff. And even Christian self-help can be the same way. And I wouldn't put this book in the category of self-help, but it will be helpful. And sometimes the most important place to start to move forward is to, instead of ignoring our failures, instead of internally shaming ourselves for our failures, is just to acknowledge them, to put them out there. Because when we look at them, when we name them, when we have a clear perception of them, we can have greater freedom. So even though this chapter is labeled our failures, I hope that you are encouraged by it. I hope that it helps give you some expectation of what's to come for you as you continue to stop resting on yourself and trusting that God can. Welcome to the Hearers and Doers podcast. I'm Becky Kaiser, and I'll be the host for this show. Do you need a space where you can show up just as you are? This is your place. Dry shampoo, crying kids, messy house, and barking dogs are all welcome here. Do you need a cheerleader who sees all your amazing potential and unique ways God's called and created you? Done, I'm signing up as captain. I'm a certified life coach and Bible teacher with decades of experience who isn't afraid to tell you the truth you need to hear. Some weeks I'll be sharing practical and encouraging and sometimes correcting shows, and other weeks I'll be introducing you to new and old friends. You ready? Let's go, my friend. Chapter 1. Our failures. Don't be afraid to fail. Papa Kaiser, my husband, Chris's grandpa. Every day you are faced with a thought that isn't true. You aren't enough, which somehow makes you a failure. You experience it from the moment you wake up until you go to bed. It's one often quiet attack after another. You carry that F like it's your personal scarlet letter, believing a lie that you don't have what it takes. You feel stuck in shame, carpal lines, broken relationships, dead-end jobs, unfulfilled dreams, and unforgiveness. You may have felt this way for so long that you can't see another way, but you still desperately hope for one. You don't want to go through the motions, smiling on Sundays at church and projecting seemingly perfect images of your life, all while knowing you're missing your purpose. You can't seem to get off the proverbial hamster wheel going round and round to nowhere. You're ready for your story to change. You want to believe you can live more significantly, leading a life filled with freedom and purpose. To call this thought spiral an attack feels too strong, because you are mature enough to know that this is life, and life isn't easy. When we see ourselves as failures, we are looking at ourselves in a way inconsistent with God's view of us. My experience has been that many institutions that teach us how to live as Christians, especially as Christian women, have taught us to look down on ourselves and call it humility. We are going to heal that, my friend. I want to share a popular verse with you that often appears on bumper stickers and coffee mugs. However, let's go a little further than the ever-popular verse 11. I know what I'm doing. I have it all planned out. Plans to take care of you, not abandon you. Plans to give you the future you hope for. When you call on me, when you come and pray to me, I'll listen.
When you come looking for me, you'll find me. Yes, when you get serious about finding me and want it more than anything else, I'll make sure you won't be disappointed. I'll turn things around for you. I'll bring you back home to the place from which I sent you. You can count on it. Jeremiah 29:11-14. When I became a Christian at 16 and first heard verse 11, I felt like it was slightly taunting, almost like God was saying, ha ha, I know, and you don't. I didn't understand the character of God then, that he was a good father who only gives good gifts, Matthew 7:11. Once I read the full context of this verse, I got it. It wasn't that God knew and I didn't. Instead, God was giving us the best invitation ever. God was so good to tell us, hey, do you want to know everything? Come to me. Talk with me. I can't wait to tell you. Oh, it's so good. We've heard countless times, you go, girl. You got this. You can do anything. Let me tell you, I'm here for that. As a champion of women and a life coach, I believe in speaking life into one another. However, I've learned that when pressed, those self-help mantras, while encouraging now, often fall flat under pressure. You've likely experienced this too. You've read the books, attended the conferences, listened to the podcast, and resolved to think differently about yourself. You believe, if even for a moment, that you are finally free and capable of anything. Then life happens, and you no longer feel so powerful. You get dumped and find yourself alone, or your marriage is struggling again. You get passed up for that promotion or get stuck in the mundane rhythm of your day. You're bored or overstimulated. Medical diagnoses rock your world, or your bank account doesn't look how you thought it would by now. The person you thought was your friend betrayed you, and you've just never found your people. And that's just what's going on externally. It isn't even considering what's happening in your mind or your heart. I know life isn't all bad. For many of you, it isn't even primarily bad. I won't propose resigning, defeated by life's heavy or challenging parts. Instead, we will find freedom from the heavy, because whether it's here now or coming soon, it's a part of life we simply can't escape. Isaiah 43:2 shoots it to us straight. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. Note that it says when, because fires and floods will come. It's not an if, but a when. I hope you will discover the truth that will be your life vest when those waters rise and your fire hydrant, when your flames burn bright. Remember that our Father says you will not be overwhelmed or burned. Always a skeptic and realist, I struggle to believe we won't be overwhelmed or burned because most of us have experienced both. Overwhelm means to cover over completely, submerge, or to overcome by superior force or numbers, to overpower in thought or feeling. You may feel overwhelmed, but you have not truly been overwhelmed. I remember hearing the song King of My Heart for the first time. As they repeated the chorus, you are good, good, oh, oh, it was as if I had been punched in the gut and the breath left my lungs. While those leading and singing around me seemed to feel those words deeply, tears stung my eyes because I couldn't relate. The song continued, you're never gonna let me down. If I'm honest, God has let me down more than once. What happens when we look at our life or parts of our life and wonder how he let that happen or if things will ever get better? Together, we will look at a number of failures found throughout the Bible. But we will also examine our own failures, and you will learn that I am the queen of failures. I feel like my whole life has been 2 steps forward, 1 step back, and sometimes 18 steps back. I went to Camp Well with the Well Summit a year ago, and it was one of the most transformative things I've ever done. Camp Well is a week-long retreat in a Colorado mountain valley where you deal with your junk and take steps towards freedom to become and do what God has called you to be. One of the things that makes Camp Well especially game-changing is that you do pre-work before you go so that you're ready to hit the ground running when you get there. One of those activities absolutely broke me. Jen Jett Barrett, the founder of Camp Well, had us map out our peaks, good things, and valleys, hard things. We were supposed to start at our earliest memory and record our peaks and valleys up to the present time and mark how high or low they ranked. I must confess, I put this off until the last minute on my plane ride to the retreat. I'm an Enneagram 3, which means my greatest fear in life is being a failure or worthless. You will see through this book how Satan has had a field day trying to take me out with that root fear. That also explains why I put this project off until the last minute. I didn't want to acknowledge my valleys because I perceived them all as failures, even though they weren't all my fault. But I did the work because I'm also an overachiever and couldn't show up with half a packet filled out. And what God did next was break me in seat 23D, with my tray table wobbling as I scribbled my peaks and valleys across my page. It took the whole flight to map out. I held nothing back. And then I just stared at that page. I realized why I'd felt like I'd been on a roller coaster, because I had. As I connected the dots, I could finally see the drastic turns from the highest highs to the lowest lows. The pain I didn't even realize I felt made sense. I had become numb from self-protection. I'd stopped trusting myself for what seemed like justifiable reasons, but looking at the bigger picture, I saw something different. I started to believe that there could be a but God coming that could change everything, or at least some things. Now it's your turn. I won't ask you to map out your whole life of peaks and valleys, but I want you to reflect on your failures or valleys and contrast them with some of your highs or mountaintops. Maybe these things don't rank as personal failures, but you still feel as though they might disqualify you, or you feel hurt or insecure because of them. For example, I've believed that I'm automatically disqualified from being a writer because I have no clue what a semicolon does and only know how to write and run on sentences. That's obviously not true. We all perceive 1,000 big and little failures to be true about ourselves. In the enhancement, you'll find space to process yours. If you can, do this now. If you can't, promise yourself you will do it. You need to do it before you can freely move forward. Add in your highs as well. It's good to see the balance of both. Let me take this moment to reassure you that you are loved. You are safe here, and I'm proud of you. You're doing hard work, which will usher in freedom you've never known. You only need a mustard seed of faith, remember? God is moving mountains. He is using every single failure to bring about the good plans He is working out. Jeremiah 29:11. My greatest hope for you is that by the time you finish the last chapter of this book, you will know that all the parts of your story that have always felt like failures instead demonstrate that God is weaving a greater story. On your own, you can't, but God absolutely can. He has made you stronger as you face countless trials, some brought on by sin, but many brought on by life. Putting self-help gimmicks to the side, let's hear two essential truths that Jesus said. I'm the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. John 14:6. And the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. John 10:10. Did you catch that? Jesus is the way. He doesn't just want life for you. He wants you to experience abundant life. He sees those quote-unquote failures. He is ready to add, but God can, to them so you can experience the purpose-filled, abundant life He has planned for you. As we wrap up this chapter, I don't want you to sit too long in these failures. They are worth acknowledging and grieving so you can learn from them. But let's not forget that our God can do absolutely anything with our failures. This isn't a name it and claim it book. I simply don't buy into the mentality of if you build it, they will come. But I believe God can do anything with your life. beyond what you can ask or imagine. Your failures don't disqualify you. They bring God greater glory. I will likely quote this verse so much that I hope you will have it memorized before you've finished this book. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong." 2 Corinthians 12, 8-10. Our weaknesses give God the opportunity to show off his power. The context of this verse is Paul pleading for the Lord to remove the thorn in his flesh. We don't know what it was, but he repeatedly begged God to remove it. I wonder if you have done something similar. How often have we hidden in shame over our failures or begged God to make a different way? I don't know why God has allowed some of what he has allowed in your life. I'm sorry for your pain. The hope-filled news in all of this is that the weaker we are, the stronger we become because of God's power. We can't, but God can. I don't know what you've been trying to do in your own strength. I don't know what mountains are before you, but I know that when you stop trying to move a mountain yourself, you get to watch God, who created the entire world and all that fills it, parted the sea, raised the dead, walked on water, healed with just a word, multiplied a few fish to feed thousands, and did countless other things, do a mighty work in your life. I want to ask you to do one more thing as an act of surrender. In your enhancement, write "bug God" over those failures you listed. As you did with your mountains in my letter at the beginning of this book, do the same with this list of failures. This is a visual reminder of faith and trust in God. I'm so proud of you for working through this chapter. I won't sugarcoat it. The steps toward lasting change aren't always easy. But God, friend, God has wonderful things planned for you. I want to commission you with the exact words Moses shared with Joshua as he was about to enter the promised land. "I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be frightened, and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Joshua 1:5-9. Are you ready? Let's go. Pray. Father, thank you for letting me acknowledge my lows. It's refreshing that I don't have to pretend to be blessed or to have it all together with you. Forgive me for believing that you have let me down instead of believing you are good, like the song says. Help me to believe in and see your goodness. Help me trust that you have truly good plans. Free me from believing that the hard things that have happened in my life and my mistakes mean I'm a failure. I don't want to be stuck in shame anymore. Give me hope that you will use my failures for good. Help me to trust that a miracle is coming.
James 1:22 in the ESV says, "Be doers of the word and not hearers only." Or the Message translation says it even more bluntly, "Don't fool yourself into thinking that you are a listener when you are anything but, letting the word go in one ear and out the other. Act on what you hear." This podcast is called Hearers and Doers because that's the kind of people we are committing to becoming. Women or men who choose to not just hear what is true, but actually live it out in our day-to-day lives. I'd love to hear your big takeaways from today's episode. Would you share them? Post them on social media and be sure to tag me at Becky Kaiser. And if you love today's episode, don't forget to give it an awesome review because that helps others find the show too. And you can always text the link to friends so they don't miss it either. Hope you have an awesome rest of your day, my friend. Love you so.